On today's episode, starting the new year off with an epic fail, what to do when your phone is a nudist, and my family's a drunk, now what? All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red thoughts. Who do ya? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
This is Lori Beth Denberg, and I say hello in every episode. So if you hate it, hit that 15 seconds first button. With me, as always, is the most wanted man in all of Guam,
wow.
Clark Roser.
Hello.
I'm really painting myself into a corner that I'm going to have some funny thing to say about you before I introduce you every
right.
time.
Yeah.
Like I'm turning it into a Simpsons chalkboard gag.
Right.
And exactly. I don't need that anxiety.
Clearly, you've seen exactly what they went through the first like 3 weeks of the show. And they're like, wait a minute, this was a horrible idea.
Okay, and you just used the word exactly.
Oh, yes, I did.
So, which is fine for
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
But in listening back to our episode so far,
yes.
I say exactly probably 45 times per episode.
Okay.
I don't know when I'm saying it. You know, we're in conversation
sure. yeah, yeah, yeah.
and we're shooting the shit or really thinking about, you know, the questions.
Yeah, I mean, for everyone out there listening, we aren't scripted. We don't really know. LB, at least, doesn't really know a lot of the questions coming in. So it's not like we've had a lot of prep time.
Yeah, we're just sitting down and we're both, you know, just doing our thing and doing the thing we do together. So, but I just heard it over and over. Exactly. 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 So I'm going to work on that.
Right.
I'm
officially going to try to move to precisely.
Precisely. Indubitably.
Precisely.
So anyway, dear listener. Do you love this show? Are you sick of hearing me say exactly? Everyone say it at home. Exactly.
Nice.
But yeah, it's been good. It's been a good holiday season. As good
yeah,
as it
I
can
mean,
be.
Exactly. As
you
good
know
as it
thought?
Can be.
I do this thing called Cameo.
Oh, right.
There's a thing called Cameo. You know about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's this thing where people can book me to send a personalized like video message to someone as a present. So I got a lot of, you know, Tammy loved you on all that. And she's such a great friend. Will you wish her a Merry Christmas and that kind of stuff? So
nice.
I got a bunch of those, which are really fun.
Yeah.
And really fun. And sometimes I do like old vital informations in this. Sometimes
oh,
I'll say
sweet.
This is my favorite. So that has been a really nice thing
yeah.
to be like reach out to people basically and say how much, you know, their brother, sister, whoever loves them and Merry Christmas or whatever.
Yeah. For everyone out there listening, you know, I've spent almost 40 years being friends with LB, and I have to say, after you got your fame, you have always been very happy to talk to your fans.
Yes, well, my fame.
Your
I
fame.
Love that. Yeah.
Hey, man. Whether we're at Disneyland or just walking down the street, if somebody comes up to you, as long as they say your name, like they know who you are.
Oh, that's right.
That's
the rule.
But the rule at Disneyland was there was horrible people at Disneyland. I never knew. I always feel like I know what it's like to be famous now because I've been at Disneyland with you.
Yeah.
Because that was, especially at a certain point in time, really hard to do. We couldn't get through a line without people just yelling your name out or like they want to check to make sure it's you without
yes.
actually contacting
well, and
you.
I just want to say a couple things. I'm not famous in that way where like someone's tearing at my garments. Like
you're not John Lennon.
I would say that I'm. You know what it is? In reality, I would say that I'm well known and well liked for the work I've done. To a 90s kid,
right?
I am like, oh my goodness,
yeah.
famous. When I go do a smaller project, because I get, you know, asked to do things and I'm like, yeah, that sounds good based on, you know, you not having the creepiest email I've ever read and, you know, reading the script that you've written, you know, I'll go and do it. And there's always, not always, but oftentimes this like, hello, Miss Stenberg, welcome to the set. We so appreciate you being here. Right. And I'm always like, do you need help moving chairs? You know, and I really put, I say to them a lot, I go, you're really overestimating how important I am. So, I mean, that's just so I do try to, you know, I'm so happy to take pictures before the friggin' pandemic.
And now
I would get a lot of hugs.
It feels like it's so cool because Cameo is kind of a way for you to be able to do that with your fans on like a global scale.
Yeah,
instead of
really
it just
cool.
being the people that see you face to face.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's a lot of... you know, it's a lot of people that are saying how great my friend is. My friend is a doctor who's been working in the medical profession during the pandemic. Wow. There's been a lot throughout the pandemic. There have been a lot of them that are like, my friend's having a really hard time feeling isolated and alone. She could use a pep talk or a pick me up. Like, there's all different circumstances why people book me.
Sure.
And they're, you know, mostly really neat. Only a few I turned down.
Wow. You could turn Cameos down?
Oh, yeah. You can turn them down. The first one I ever turned down, I'm like, I don't know. Can I do that? But the first one I did... turned down was this guy who wrote, his request was, hey, can you say which one of my books you like best?
Oh, no.
Here's the link to them. And I'm like, nice try.
Right. Now you're on the back of his book jacket. Right?
I know. It's like, nice try. But so there are people that want like endorsements and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't know what you're, first of all, you're clever, but not that clever. Because at the time I charged like $40 and I'm like, I'm not endorsing your book for $40, you know, and I'm not endorsing your book in the first place. So there's a few people that want me to like talk on their radio show, tell everyone how much you love our podcast. And this, and I'm like, I don't know your podcast.
Weird.
And I don't want to do like thorough research
for your Cameo.
For my, you know, for the 30 bucks I end up with, whatever. But it's really, really, now I charge less. I charge 25. It's just like
holiday discount.
It did, you know, I did a pandemic, no, a social distancing special.
Oh, nice.
$5 at the beginning of it.
Oh, wow.
I got so many that it was like, I was anxious.
Wow, you're going to have so many footlongs.
Yes, exactly.
Just waiting for Subway to come back.
$5 footlong. I can have all of them. now I'm charging. And then I went to 10. I went to 25. People are home and people, you know, I started getting those ones that were like, my friend was diagnosed with COVID and she could really use a pep talk. And, you know, a lot that were just like, it's really hard to be in lockdown and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And now the ones I'm getting that are like, can you wish them a Merry Christmas, are a little bit funner, right. You know, but, those are really fun.
Yeah.
Those are really fun. And I know I am expecting a large influx for Martin Luther King Day.
Right. Of course. Yes.
That's probably. No, but you know what?
What?
No, I don't think anybody's thinking of me like, what can I do for Martin Luther King? Let's book LB. Like, certainly nobody's doing that. But Valentine's Day.
Oh, sure.
Is a time that I get some of those too.
Yeah.
So, and they're always so sweet.
Yeah.
And, you know. Really sweet. And then, and if you're, you know, people are sending them to people that were fans, you know, that are 90s kids.
Right. Exactly.
Which is such a trip now that 90s kids are like married and have kids.
Right.
Because that makes me so much older.
I know. It's really bad. I hate aging.
Oh,
but,
my goodness.
You know, what you're going to do.
So we are right before New Year's Eve.
Yeah. This is our last show of 2020.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. We made it. We made it through 2020.
Oh, not yet. It's the 30th. This is airing on the 30th. We have
so close.
We are so close.
But actually, this is a really good segue because our first question of the day, if you're ready for some questions, is about New Year's. So let's start some questions here. And we'll start with Allison. Allison is from Facebook and she's asked you New Year's resolutions. Why do so many of us make them when the majority of us don't ever uphold them? What is it about the end of the year that has us constantly looking to fix or improve ourselves? Is this a metaphor for how we eventually look back on life when we're near the end? Like, yeah, that was good, but I wish I could have done it this way or that way or just a little better. Is this what we all do to ourselves? And if so, is it even worth it? What does this line of thinking do for us? Can we all acknowledge it's a damaging way of looking at ourselves in relation to the world and then commit to changing our thinking? And you see, I just did it again. Clearly, I need some help, LB. No. And that was from Allison.
Allison, thank you, Allison Potato Head. Yeah, I don't think people know that. I rarely call people by their names. I often call them Potato and Bunny and Kitten and Button. So Potato Head is a term of endearment.
Oh, absolutely.
This New Year's resolutions are a bitch. Obviously, it's like people at the heart of it, it's like, I want to be my best self.
Right.
You know, and I want to accomplish something this year.
Right.
And it's usually something that you hate yourself for, right, that you haven't been able to stop doing, yeah, and why you would be able to stop it from from December 31st to January 1st is like, who knows?
Right.
I'm sure there are people who have kept their things. Usually, it's like, I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to not work as much, or, you know, these large, that's the other thing too. They're always usually big, large things.
Yeah. Big ideas.
Like setting yourself up for failure a lot of times.
Big life changing events.
Exactly. Exactly. Huge lifestyle changes, you know, it's, and maybe that's part of it, is it would be better if you're like for me, right now, my house is a bit of a mess.
Okay.
I talked about this, I think, in an earlier episode. So obviously I have not made progress. There are clothes everywhere.
Sure.
If that I like have to step on and around this and that.
Sure, sure.
If my New Year's resolution, I will make this my New Year's resolution.
Okay, here we go.
But get this.
All right.
To hang up one piece of clothing per day.
How simple is that?
It's pretty simple.
So simple.
And if I miss a day, I do two the next day. Two pieces of clothing. That's something that I am capable of doing.
Absolutely.
You know, I am capable of doing that.
Sure, sure, sure.
But to say, like, this is the year, you know, I have a weight problem. I always have. It's, you know, people know me as the fat girl. People like to make lovely, hateful comments about it as well.
Yeah.
So props to you. Stay classy. And, you know, so that's always, you know, been a thing of like, I'm going to lose 100 pounds this year. I'm going to, you know, and I'm sure we'll get into this later. And this is, but the weight thing with a lot of people is very emotional. It's very, you know, trauma based, all that kind of stuff. But so speaking of some trauma, I broke up about a year ago. A relationship ended.
Right.
The whole thing was bad.
Yeah,
the whole thing was
rough.
It was really
rough.
It
was really rough.
And it was just fucked up.
Yeah.
And it happened to be in mid-December. And I had gone to visit a friend. Her sister is a personal trainer.
Mm.
So I said, hey, you know, can I call Molly? You know, you think I could do some sessions with her, just because I was so deep into feeling shitty and acting out with food from the 4 years of the relationship.
Right.
That I was like, I want to get back to this. So I went over to her, to this, her name is Molly. I'm always like, don't say anyone's name, to Molly's house in Phoenix. And we did some sessions and it felt good and it was hard.
Nice.
And I could start to feel my body. I could start to feel my, muscles and all that kind of stuff. Not like that they were big, but just like being connected to my body.
Sure, sure, sure.
And so I went back from there and I did some research and I found a gym at home that I was interested in as a women's gym.
Mm.
But just the timing of it was like, made me look like I was a New Year's resolutioner.
Right.
I got back just before New Year's. I went to the gym.
Right.
And I was like, I am not a New Year's resolutioner. This was just
bad timing.
Circumstance. Yeah. This was circumstance. And I even said that when I was signing up. I'm like, I want you to know I'm not a New Year's resolution. It's ridiculous. And then that was really great. I was going to the gym 4, 5, 6 times a week.
Right.
Doing a lot of yoga classes, all this stuff. I really felt like I was going somewhere. I felt empowered, even though that's a weird word to use. And then COVID hit. And then that was the most, that was the hardest thing for me as far as just being in lockdown.
Yeah.
Because
that's not something you can really do the same at home.
No, there's nothing I did at the gym I couldn't do at home. I just don't.
All right.
There's, you know, a million yoga.
You weren't using like a stair machine or a bike machine or a treadmill.
They have this thing called the street.
Oh.
That I could walk on.
Wow.
Anytime I want. It's called outside.
Oh, it's true.
And, you know, that hasn't happened. I've gone into what a lot of people have been like, you know.
Look, I feel like New Year's resolutions are about one thing. There is no time during the rest of the year that is a more apt time to just start, right? I feel like people have a hard time starting something. And New Year's is just that one day out of the year where everyone has decided, let's just start something. It's the beginning. Let's start. And I feel like people just use that date as a place to, you know, they've been thinking about learning to juggle. And what better day to start learning than January 1st? Like, I honestly feel like a majority of the resolutions out there are just people desperately searching for somebody to tell them to just go.
Yeah.
Right? They want somebody to say, go, start, do it. And nobody's doing that. So when New Year's hits, they go, okay, well, this is a day I can start.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's good. I think like what Allison is talking about, we talked about in the beginning before I went on like a 20-minute rant about my gym, which is still, I mean, still it's good. All
yeah,
good.
Very, yeah.
But, you know, is the concept of saying of something that I feel bad about, something
right.
that I'm like totally down on myself about,
right.
maybe have bad self-talk and saying, I'm going to change this on January 1st. And then when that doesn't happen, it's like continuing the cycle. So I really get what she's saying.
Yeah.
And maybe a way to circumvent that pattern is for me to say, okay, here's my New Year's Eve, you know, my New Year's Eve goal, my New Year's resolution isn't to lose 100 pounds by summer. It isn't to, you know, get a job that makes $100,000. It's not to whatever. It's to hang one piece of clothing up in my closet per day.
That is the best New Year's resolution I've heard.
Yeah.
It really is. It's so simple. It's easy to do. It's easy to forgive yourself when you made a mistake and you forget once.
Yeah.
Right? That's another thing is that you people start trying to lose weight or go to the gym or do these things. And then the day that it doesn't work or they miss the time or they forget, it's like, okay, well, that's it.
This year is shot.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
That resolution is dead.
And that now I have something more to feel bad about for a very like, I'm like, God, okay, there's 363 days till my next New Year's resolution.
Exactly.
And that's another thing too, is that it's this finite all or nothing thing. That's what I think Allison's talking about. It's like, it's really hard to be all or nothing in anything you do. So, Allison, you're right. Everyone else is wrong. You are the queen of understanding things.
Yes. And to everyone else out there, I do agree with LB. I think you should all make very, very tiny, simple resolutions.
Yeah.
So much better. All right. Well, let's move on to question number two. Question number two is from our website, which you can all log on to our website, asklauriebeth.com.
That's catchy.
And send us a question.
COVID.
Exactly. This question is from Jason. And Jason has a very deep philosophical question here. He says, like all of modern society, I have a smartphone.
Ooh.
However, unlike most people, I hate the idea of putting a case on my phone. What should I do? I want to appreciate the beauty of my device, but I don't want to live in fear of dropping the thing. Help.
Jason, while you were reading that, I kind of got this like weird vibe that Jason is in a relationship with his phone. I like admiring its beauty.
Yeah.
I have my smartphone.
Yeah.
I have an unhealthy relationship with it.
Yeah.
I turned it off to record this with you, Clark.
Yeah.
Since I turned it off, I picked it up probably 7 times to try to look for something.
Sure.
It's sad. It's like when your friend dies and you forget.
Right.
And you think, I got to tell.
Oh. Right. You're always putting your hand on that side of the bed.
Well, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
So I understand. Jason was
Jason,
it?
Jason.
Get a clear case, moron.
Come on. This is such an easy question. No.
I have.
He needs a little tough love.
I do have an iPhone. It's that like periwinkle blue, which happens to be my favorite color.
Yeah.
Like this light sky periwinkle blue. I've got that one. And I've got a case on him, and it's a clear case so that I can see the lovely blue and the little apple.
Right.
And my phone is still protected.
Yes.
So I recommend to you looking up online clear iPhone or clear whatever you have, clear Android case, whatever. Mine also has a kickstand.
Sure.
So I can stand it up and watch
TV.
I watch things constantly on that.
Yeah.
So that is my advice, Jason. Please keep your phone safe.
One more bit of advice here. Mm-hmm. Ready? You can spend some money and get an insurance policy for your phone.
Oh.
Then you're still spending a little money every month for the insurance policy. But hey, if it breaks, you get a new phone.
Yes.
Then you'd never need a case.
Yes.
There you go. There's that option as well.
Yeah, but I've always had to have a case because I'm just always, when I'm dealing with a phone without a case, I'm 100% sure it's going to just slip out of my hand into the gutter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like down the sewer drain, and then I'll be like trying to get it.
Which
then,
it will do. Like,
yeah,
you know,
no, it will.
It's going to break.
And then you
break.
Have to deal with Pennywise, and then it's a whole other thing.
Exactly.
Get a case, Jason, for the good of the nation.
Yeah, come on.
And get a clear case, and you can enjoy the beauty and the protection that you feel.
Exactly. That's good advice. All right. Let's move on to our third question. Our third question is actually an audio question. This is a question somebody phoned in on our amazing phone number, which is 1-855-DENBERG, 1-855-DENBERG. This is Lily. Let's say hi to Lily.
Hi. My name is Lily. I have a situation I'm interested in. I'm talking to 3 men, but I like them all. And 2 I met, 1 I have not met. But I want to be with the one who makes me feel the best, like intimacy. I haven't had intimacy with any of them, but like kissing and touching and fooling around. But what should I do? Should I wait until we go there, or should I just pick one, which is hard. I'm in a dilemma. Can you help me?
All right, Lily.
You know how I can't meet anyone? Lily's just got it going on.
I know.
She doesn't have it going on because she's not intimately involved with these 3 guys.
Right.
Unless...
Hasn't even met one.
Well, first of all, thank you, Lily, for your question.
Yeah, that was great, great, great.
Opening up about that. Some people are really calling with some personal stuff, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
But unless you have had a conversation with any of these men about this is, you know, exclusive, or are you seeing anyone else? Like, unless that kind of stuff has been talked about,
right,
you're not dating. You know, you specifically say you like, you're talking to 3 men. Not that you're dating them. You've made it very clear that you're not having sex and that kind of stuff. So what you can do is just keep talking to them, keep getting to know them.
Yeah.
You know, if the one that makes, first of all, in any case, if it's available, you should be with the one who makes you feel the best.
Right.
You know, obviously.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as long as there's no official anything with any of them, you should be able to do that. You know?
Well, one thing that Lily doesn't talk about here is whether she's, what her relationship is with these men right now. Is she going on dates with these men? Or are these three men just three men that she knows that she's fond of?
I think she said that she's talking to them. But she's met two of them.
Right.
And she hasn't met, I think she hasn't met the one that she likes most, that makes her feel the best, which actually is such a wonderful way to put that.
Right.
To not say, oh, he's the hottest one, or he's the one I like best. She said, he's the one that makes me feel the best.
Yeah.
And that is like awesome.
Yeah.
That's a tip from Lily that I need to stop and ponder when I'm doing anything.
Right.
Except for auditions, where it's kind of their job to make me feel not the best. I just, thank you, Lily, because I love that.
Yeah.
Be with the one that makes you feel the best.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid of, I don't want to judge Lily, but Lily does sound to be probably not a millennial. Right. We're probably above millennial on Lily.
Yeah.
I think it would be fine, Lily, if you want to kiss more than one man, if you want to test out the waters with one or two. I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah. And if they don't, I mean, you don't also have to go to everybody, you know, I'm not polyamorous, but I have kissed someone else.
Right.
You know, if things are casual, if things are fine, then, you know,
take it as far as you're willing to take it.
You can continue if you've, you know, are trying to pursue or get to pursue you, this one that makes you feel best.
Yeah.
And that starts to progress, then naturally I think you would, you know, kind of beg off and be less available and less into spending time with or talking into, you know, the other guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now it kind of sounds like you're like, well, I really like this one guy, but I don't want to give up the other two that I still kind of like.
Right.
Because I don't know. And the answer is you don't have to, as long as there's no understanding
exactly.
that it's exclusive. Long as that is not you actively breaking confidence with somebody else or hurting someone else.
Right. Don't hurt anybody else.
Yeah. And they could be, you know, they could be hurt or whatever, but it's not like we said we were dating each other and then you did this.
Exactly. So
that is my advice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Let's move on. We have a fourth final question for this section. This is actually from Instagram, and this is from the desk of somebody very important, Silly Goose of LA.
Oh.
And Silly Goose of LA asks, how do I not crash and burn in the early stages of the first few dates? A very apropos question. We were just kind of talking about dating and meeting people. So how do you not crash and burn in the early stages of dating?
Well, first, I like that it's Silly Goose of LA, which leads me to think that there's like a large silly goose society right. and that they all get together and right. they're just everything is represented. I'm silly goose of Boise. Exactly. I'm silly goose of Rochester.
Right. It's like it's like the International House of Pancakes. There's exactly. like everyone's there. There's a Swedish ambassador.
Exactly. So all the silly geese get together right. at GeeseCon 96.
Why would it be 96?
Because it's steeped in history.
It's the 96th year. It's not from 1996.
Oh, yeah. No, it was.
It was the 96th year of GooseCon is what you're saying.
No, I wasn't. But that's a better explanation. It's a
better explanation.
So how do I not crash and burn in the first few dates? Be yourself. No, I'm barfing at that statement, but it's kind of true.
Yeah.
Something that I do, and I know chicks do, I don't know if guys do it, you can speak to that, is to like super future trip. As soon as I kind of like a guy, I'm imagining what we're going to get married,
sure.
you know, where we're going to get married, what our first dance is going to be to,
right.
all this kind of stuff, you know, and by the time I'm done, you know, we've gotten married, had kids, gotten divorced, and are still friends right. by the time we've gone right. on a second date.
Right, right.
And
you're figuring out who's going to get the car.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, who gets these China plates? And I'm like, I can't remember in real life. I can't remember your last name. So I always need to keep myself in check and not get lost in this fantasy of the future.
Right.
Because I don't even know this person yet.
Right, right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's hard to negotiate, you know, do I tell him how much I like him? Do I, you know, do I just kind of play it cool in case they don't like me? And the answer is you're getting to know someone.
Yeah.
You're getting to know someone in the early few dates. Do we get along? Do we, you know, have anything to talk about, right. that kind of stuff.
Right.
And you could really look at it like that.
Yeah.
Like if we, we got to talk about Logan soon.
Oh yeah.
Logan Clark's best friend, but like, because he and I used to be partners in science class.
Right. Yeah.
Which was a whole hilarious thing, but stay tuned yeah. for the talk about Logan.
Coming soon
on Bad Advice. Think of it almost like, you know, you're doing a group project.
Right.
And you do this group project and you find people that you get along with and that you work well with.
Right.
And that can be the first thing. You know, the difference between that and a date is the date is like, are we going to have sex?
Right.
Are we going to have sex? Are we going to have sex? What kind of sex?
Right.
Will it be my hand, my mouth, or my other regions? You know, and that's obviously a big component
right.
of not having the sex. That doesn't have to be any component, but
no.
that thinking and the anticipation and
right.
the, are we, you know, that's such a big part of starting relationships.
Very true.
So it's easy to get lost in that too. But if you just really are able to focus on getting to know someone. And the yeah. other thing is to be honest.
Yeah.
92% of the things we worry about would be alleviated if we were honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you were to just say, I really like you and I want to get to know you
yes.
and I don't want to screw it up by doing X, Y, or Z. And not in a like heartfelt, like we need to have this serious talk.
Being open and communicative is never the wrong answer.
Yeah.
It's always the good way to go.
And what you're going to find is either, oh, I was feeling the same way too. And oh, this is good. The pressure's off, you know, popping the balloon of the anxiety that you're
yes.
feeling.
Or you get the exact opposite, but just still the perfect answer. Even if I'm asking you, oh, I want to talk about Star Wars and nerdy stuff. And you tell me like, hey, you know what? I really am not into pop culture or sci-fi or nerdy stuff. That's a sign to me that, hey, I shouldn't be in this relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
So whether it's you get the good response or the bad response, you're still getting the response you need.
Yeah. And even worse is me going, shut your filthy mouth about Star Wars.
Exactly. Well, no, that then I'm turning back around. That's kind of good again. No,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah. So first few dates are always really tough, but yeah, hopefully that advice helps.
Yeah, and take a breath.
Everyone deals with it, and you'll get through it, I promise. All right, well, we're good with those questions. Let's move on to an old flashback story. You ready for a flashback, LB?
Yeah.
All right, let's go flashback a little bit.
Okay.
Flashing back with Clark and LB. Let's talk about some fun memory. Cause it's a flashback.
So pretty.
That's very nice.
It's a very pretty jingle. I like that jingle. All right. Well, so we're going back to flashback for this episode. And for this episode, we thought we would talk about a place that was very near and dear to both of our hearts. Growing up, our entire lives, we've kind of constantly gone back to one place. And that one place, oddly enough, is the Hollywood Bowl.
The Hollywood Bowl.
So we want to kind of give you a little bit of a flashback, maybe a couple stories about how our lives keep intertwining with the Hollywood Bowl.
So I'll explain the Hollywood Bowl, which is my favorite place. It's where I spend my summers.
Every summer.
It is a large, primarily-ish a music venue.
Yeah, it's outdoor stadium.
It's in Hollywood.
Right.
And it's an open air, like the Sydney Opera House, but right, huger.
Right.
There's like a dome stage or the bowl and benches and seats. It seats 18,000 people.
Yep.
Which is a lot of people to spend the evening with. And yep, I love doing it.
Tucked away in the Hollywood Hills. Mm-hmm. So it's right, if you're sitting in the right section, you can kind of see the Hollywood sign,
yeah,
from the audience. And it's been around for, 100 years or so.
You know what? I was going to say since the 20s, and that's crazy that it would
almost
be
about
100
years. Yeah. And it's kind of in the middle of everything, and it's a go-to place for some of the biggest shows and some of the coolest and more unique shows in,
yeah,
LA.
There are times when it's like the Dave Matthews Band.
Sure.
I don't know why that's the, I mean, I guess because we're always focused on the 90s.
Right,
that's the,
yeah,
greatest. But, you know, the Dave Matthews Band or, you know, Keith Richards or the Rolling Stones and big, big, you know, shows.
Right.
But there also is more of the smaller shows with the LA Philharmonic Orchestra.
Right.
Is called the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra during the summer at the Hollywood Bowl. So there's tons that are just classical music.
Yeah.
There are plays, there are individual singers,
yep,
there's theme nights, and most...
Yo-Yo Ma.
I saw Yo-Yo Ma.
Yeah, he's great.
Most smushy to me, though, is they have fireworks.
Yes.
There are several shows, it's not every night, but several times during the summer, they have shows that have fireworks.
Yeah.
And I love fireworks.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's where I would go. I would go to every show if I could. Well, I should explain that. Well, Clark, you worked there,
yeah,
back in the day, right?
So the summer that I graduated high school, which was 95, I worked with Logan, my best friend. He and I both worked at the Hollywood Bowl. We had those they have these little carts. Like, you know how you go to the mall and in the middle of the mall, there's those little carts.
Little kiosks,
and they sell random things. We had kiosks at three or four locations around the bowl to sell Hollywood Bowl merchandise.
Mm.
So we did that for a whole summer. I heard every single concert that
so
year.
Cool.
It was really fun. We got in trouble a lot.
I would see you there when,
yeah,
I would come to shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you'd probably see Logan first because Logan had the prime location.
Yeah.
He was right over there by the K entrance. So it was like everyone passed by him, no matter where your seat was. I was actually tucked away on the rich side.
Ooh.
I was over at the West Gate where all of the fancy rich people and celebrities come in.
Oh.
So I got a lot of high money, high roller clients coming to my booth. But it was really fun. It was amazing to be able to listen to these spectacular concerts every night. One of the nights I there's John Williams, and I was walking back behind stage and I kind of ran into John Williams. Oh. It was really kind of cool. Very fun. And then one night, Logan and I finished counting our totals for everything, and he finished first and he came over to my side. And then I finished mine and we grabbed our stuff, locked down my cart, and we're walking back across the bowl, and now the entire stadium is empty.
Yeah.
The bowl is empty.
Yeah.
Nobody's there anymore because, you know, everyone's gone for the night. So we ran up on stage and we sang a Beatles song because we wanted to say at one point we sang at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is one of the coolest things is part of. So I go as often as I can during the summer, which means I get the schedule for the Hollywood Bowl and I make a list of every single show that I want to see. And then I look at my bank account and depending on where I've been the year previous, I either buy one ticket to, I mean, a ticket, also a ticket at the Hollywood Bowl can be $400 or $200 or $54 or $17 or $8.
Right.
Because it's like this huge thing. The farther back you get, obviously, the cheaper the tickets get for some things. So depending on where I am financially, I can either buy three different shows for $8 or I can buy 10 shows for $17 or $25. The one year I really went to too many was, you know, and I always post on Facebook, like, checking in at the Hollywood Bowl, my favorite place. But there was one year that I was like, going back to the Hollywood Bowl. Like, I would have booked
It was your job. Like, you were kind of sick of it at that point.
Gotta get to this. Well, there was a few times that I didn't realize it where, like, I had a Saturday night show and a Sunday night show. I'd be like, here I go again. but it is my most favorite place. And one of the things that, you know, COVID and the pandemic and being safe and being better safer than sorry. This was the first summer, I'm sure for thousands and thousands of people that, you know, and luckily the Hollywood Bowl just closed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it wasn't like, well, we'll sell every other seat. Like, every other seat is 9,000 people. You know what I mean?
So exactly.
Luckily and shittily, they just stopped everything, canceled everything.
Some solace about it.
And I got to see some other fireworks. I went somewhere where they're shooting off fireworks, and I just sat in my car, which I'm not suggesting you do, because they also did start a fire.
Right, of course.
They started a fire and burned down an 8-unit apartment building.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Oh, that was awesome.
It was a thing. And, but not being at the Hollywood Bowl, having such a good reason that it's canceled. If it was just, I really don't have any money or I broke both my legs or something, that would be really sad.
Yeah.
But so then our stories converge.
Yes. So the peak of our Hollywood Bowl love was hit. Was it 2 years ago or 3 years
was
ago?
Was he two or three? He must have been three.
Yeah. So probably 2 years ago. So probably 2018.
Yeah.
They had a concert at the bowl that was the
Muppets Take the Bowl.
Muppets Take the Bowl.
Was that it?
Yeah, that was totally it. And they had the Muppet performers there performing with the Muppets, songs, skits,
and real people too. And it was celebrities. It was the season finale. It was the last show of the season, so there were
more fireworks. And my son was 3 years old, and he was just then kind of slowly phasing out of Sesame Street, and I was showing him more Muppet Show, you know, he was watching a little bit more Mana Mana and a little bit less Somebody Come and Play With Me.
Yeah,
exactly. We should just have an entire episode where we try and remember shit from Sesame Street. But yeah, that was the best. She had the time of his life, that show.
Well, but the thing is, it wasn't just a show, because we expert tip number one, if you're in LA, there are shuttles that will take you to the Hollywood Bowl. Yes,
never park at the Bowl.
Yeah, you park for free at a lot of them, and then you take a shuttle that costs like $6 or $7, right, and it takes you right to the front and right to the back. So we had met nearest your house.
Yeah.
And it was you, Lex, and Karen, your wife, Mimi and Papa.
That's right.
And me.
Yes.
I didn't have a date. Well, I guess Lex was my date.
Yeah, Lex was your date.
To even out the numbers.
Exactly.
And so even on the way there in the bus, we were sitting in the back of the bus and Karen was like, this is the first time he's been in a vehicle that he hasn't been in a chair. It's the first time he's been able to look out the window.
Yeah. Because of course we were. When you're that young, you have to get strapped in so much to a car seat.
And we were, of course, you know, all on. I was sitting on one side of him. Karen was sitting on the other. It's not like we were like, look out the window. Good luck. So that was even amazing to me to see, like, this is a first for him. This is a first being on a bus.
Yeah.
This is a first, you know, his first time to the Hollywood Bowl. And we all sat together and, you know, Clark and I love the Muppets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you aren't a Muppet person, that's okay. But if you think it's just goofy and for kids, go back and watch them.
Yeah.
They are, I almost said sadistic, but no.
No, not sadistic.
They are satirical. Yeah. They are ironic. They are.
Jim Henson was so far ahead of his time. Yeah. He really was just a genius at storytelling.
Yeah. And we love the Muppets.
Yeah.
You know, smushed together, the Muppets
and the Bowl.
And the Bowl. You got Muppets in my Hollywood Bowl. Exactly. You got Hollywood Bowl in my Muppets.
It was a true peanut butter goodness.
Exactly. So exactly there. Right? I did it already. Exactly. So that's just a really special memory of the Bowl, taking Lex to his first one. And he just was so into it. It wasn't like other kids that they're like,
yeah, he loved it.
Yeah, he just loved it. Plus the fireworks.
Yeah.
And it was just the bestest time. So Hollywood Bowl, if you're listening.
We miss you.
Not people that live there, that work there, the actual Bowl.
Well, I do want to say to the guy that's outside of the Bowl with the dog puppet that sings. I miss you too, dude.
Yes.
I miss you too.
A lot.
At one point, I knew your name, but I don't now.
I know.
Okay. Well, so, are you good with the Hollywood Bowl? You have any more Hollywood Bowl memories?
I'm always good with the Hollywood Bowl. All just that I hope that it's safe.
Yeah.
Asking that it be safe again to open next summer, it might be not realistic, but I'm hoping to be able to go back someday
when
it's safe.
It. Absolutely. But with that wrapped up, we got through our flashback. Now let's go to our final question. It's also from Facebook, and this is from somebody named Greg.
Oh.
Greg asks, hey, LB,
mm-hmm.
How do you negotiate the holidays with family if family members are abusing alcohol and or drugs?
Ah, shapasha. Thank you, Greg. What's interesting to me is that Greg used the word abusing.
Yes.
You know, he didn't say, what do I do if there's alcohol and drugs there? And so to say that makes it seem like it's pretty dire. The obvious answer, did I say obvious?
I think you said obvious.
The abadabajish. The obvious answer is don't go.
Right.
The obvious answer is don't put yourself in a situation that A, you might feel uncomfortable with.
Right.
B, you might just have a bad time if everybody else is fucked up.
Yeah.
Or C, you know, if you're not using,
mm-hmm.
Which is a whole other thing, you know, and you feel like, oh no, this could be a problem for me. It could be a dangerous place. Then you don't have to go.
Right.
So that's one piece of it. If you're sober, there's a whole protection that you need to give yourself. And if you do want to go, that could mean, you know, setting a limit and saying, I'm going to be there from 8 to 8:45.
Right.
Because 9 to 10 to 11 is when the big, you know, the big drinks come out
right.
and the, you know, all the everything and say, I'm going to be there from 8 to 9, or take someone with you that can support you and is a safe person. And those are things to do or don't go. Those
or don't
are
go.
Things to do if you are, you know, sober.
Right.
If it's just a matter of... Yeah, does Greg say he's sober or no?
No, he just says, how do you negotiate the holidays with family if family members are abusing?
That's what I thought. So, you know, those are some things to do that we already talked about if you're sober.
Yeah.
If it's just a matter of, Jesus Christ, my family's out of control.
Right.
You know.
Which could very well be the case.
Yeah. It's, you know, A, you could not go.
Yeah.
B, you could talk to somebody beforehand,
right,
and say, you know, this always happens and I feel really uncomfortable with it.
Right.
You know, or use them against each other. You know, Aunt Patricia really seems like she has a drinking problem. What do you think?
Right.
They're like, yeah, she's a mess.
Yeah.
But then talk to Patricia about Stanley.
Yeah. You see? Know?
What, if they're going to be fucked up anyway, have some fun.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Cause chaos.
Oh, yes.
I love that answer. If your family members are abusing alcohol or drugs and it's upsetting you, cause chaos.
That, yes. Just,
and not deadly chaos. I'm not saying hand everyone keys and tell them to go race outside.
No.
But, you know, tell them that, you know, Aunt Petunia is pissed off because, you know, you're saying that she's... Her cooking is horrible. I don't know. Send them off against each other.
Poke the bears.
Yeah.
And then let the event turn into a sort of cage match.
Exactly.
Whoever's left standing gets the last beer.
Which also would work if you're bringing someone, because then you have somebody to watch the chaos with.
Yes.
You can sit there and watch the world burn around you.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, I got 10 on Aunt Patricia. And he's like, no, Stanley's coming in hot. Stanley's got some fire. But, you know, the main answer is you don't have to go. You don't have to go anywhere you're uncomfortable with. And if someone's going to say, you didn't come to blah, 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 it's like, well, yeah, you're all fucking crazy and drunk and high.
Right.
So that is, you know, that is absolutely your choice to not put yourself in a... uncomfortable, unfun. I can tell you though, because uncomfortable and dangerous, that's all that stuff.
Right.
But being sober, I can tell you, it's just not fun to be with a bunch of people that are drinking. No, sometimes.
Sometimes.
You know.
Right.
Because it's like, I can be with somebody who's going to smoke pot, and then it's like all of a sudden they're like, you know.
They're not fun to be around anymore.
Yeah, they're not fun to be around anymore. And I mean, it might be to other, you know, drunk or high people.
Sure,
but
sure.
If it's, you know, it's not fun to be there, then it's not fun to be there.
Yeah.
Which also might be good. But if there is good cooking, bring a friend or two and then you can just eat.
Yeah. There you go.
So, yeah, there's a lot you can do as long as, you know, the end result, you know, please protect yourself in whatever state you're in.
Right. And don't send anyone to their death. That would be the other advice.
No.
Yeah. But in the immortal words of John Bon Jovi, it's my life.
Oh.
So you got to do what's right for you, dude.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
I don't think I've done too many exactlys, but we'll go back and count.
Indubitably.
Please write in how many exactly. If somebody can
go back and count an exactly tally.
Of
just make sure that you're exactly right.
Oh.
Don't be off by one or two. I don't want a round number.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But that was it. That was our last question of the day.
Oh, the end?
That was it. We are done with 2020.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody, please have a happy and most of all, a safe New Year. Have a smart and safe New Year.
Absolutely.
You can each get your own bottle of champagne and clink the computer lightly with your friends on the other side at midnight.
Exactly.
Please be safe, be smart, be kind.
Yes. And thank you so much for sending in your questions. We really do love all of these questions. You guys are sending us fantastic questions lately. If you have any questions for Lori Beth, please send it to us at asklorybeth.com. You can hit us up on all the socials. socials at Ask Lori Beth, at Ask Lori Beth, or you could just leave a message with your name and where you're from at 1-855-DENBERG. That's 1-855-DENBERG. Or I'll give it to you in numbers. It's 1-855-336-2374. So Ooh. Easy. Call, send us a message. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
Anything else, LB?
I just want to say thanks for listening. Congratulations to everyone who has made it through 2020. Yeah. This has been a bitch and a half on about 7 million levels.
Yeah. So. Congratulations to everyone who survived.
Yes. And you please did it. Have a happy new year and choose a doable resolution if you have to.
Yeah. That's good advice. Good advice. Right, thanks. Little tiny resolution.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll see you next year.
Woo!
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.